Hello, business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives. Welcome to today's Business Radio, a new hybrid radio show that airs both on air as well as online and on demand. We discuss all the topics relating to your business. Today's Business Radio interviews experienced business advisors to help you build enterprise value, improve profitability, and plan for your eventual exit. Whether you're an entrepreneur just starting out, a seasoned business owner, or a top-level executive, today's Business Radio will help you achieve your personal and professional goals. Today's Business Radio is available around the clock, around the world, online, and on demand at todaysbusinessradio.com. Now, the host of today's Business Radio, Tom Lyons.
Hello, this is Tom Lyons. I'm here with Sam Zordich, my co-host, and Greg Jorgensen, our producer. And our guests today are Pat Berg and Lee Skalrud from Career Partners. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Pat, today we're going to talk a little bit about executive coaching women in business. One of Miss Sam's favorite subjects, executive coaching. Tell us about what you do at your firm to help executives further their career and move forward.
Well, you know, executive coaching is a category of really individual development, I think, is a good way to look at it. Just in terms of trying to create practices that help you be more successful in business. And so many times in executive coaching, what happens is a company will contact us and they're working with an employee that they're very committed to, but there's an issue that has come to the forefront that keeps them from being as successful as they could be. So executive coaching is really about the concept of working with someone to establish good coaching practices that help you be more successful long-term and achieve the goals you need to achieve in your organization. And of course, today we're talking a little bit more about women in business in that regard. And so we're focused to a certain degree, although our coaching practice is broad and includes both women and men, you know, to a certain degree, we're focusing a little bit on what's unique about women in those kinds of situations.
Now, does this executive coaching pertain to business owners as well as business execs?
Absolutely. You know, we all need coaches. I think if we even looked around this table today, I'm sure each of us would say, yep, there's somebody that's really been a coach to me and a mentor to me in terms of my own personal development. And so business owners need this. Their executives need it. It goes down to even project managers sometimes who are in the need of a particular course correction that helps them to achieve more in their organizations.
So in terms of women in these are in an executive position that are not necessarily, they need to get to the next level in their development, or so the employer believes. What is different about the coaching with the women in those positions that you've seen?
You know, I think the one main difference for many women is that they're in male-dominated organizations and their communication styles are extremely different.
Yes.
And so when we work with women, I am just amazed at how frequently it comes down to communications and it comes down to a sense of belonging and kind of being accepted by the club, to tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so you hear lots of women talk about you know, just trying to get in, trying to break into that circle and trying to have good communications with people and be accepted. And those are barriers that they still feel are very much out there and they're trying to struggle with and make themselves better in that regard.
So when you're working with a woman who feels that she may not have broken through yet into mm-hmm. that next layer of belonging. I'm trying to think of the words that you're using. How do you work with them to break through that barrier or for them stop old patterns? Because like you're saying, it is a communication. I see that over and over again with my employees. It's like the two sides oftentimes are talking at what we call violent agreement.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I think the first thing we do when working with people is to make sure they know themselves well. mm-hmm. because we all have blind spots, frankly. Mm-hmm. And so, again, in executive coaching, I think very often we're really looking at an in-depth assessment process so people understand their leadership style, they understand their conflict management style, they understand their personality, and they understand what pushes their buttons. And I think while women have come really such a long way in the business world, I believe, I think that they continue to want to be successful and be promoted to those higher ranks. And so the first thing is you have to know yourself. Mm-hmm. And then you have to know yourself in the context of the organization or the situation you're in. Because the system, the enterprise system, also has a tremendous amount of impact on your ability to achieve your goals and be successful. And so they have to look at themselves in the context of their organizational system, and then in the context of their relationships with their leadership team.
Mm-hmm. Pat, isn't there a second side to this? You and Sam have been talking about the glass ceiling, so to speak. How do you break through it and get promoted and so forth? In my mergers and acquisitions practice over the last 5 years, the studies show that there are more women starting businesses and more women buying businesses than men. And the other side of it is, once they're there, once you own that business, once you've bought it, you've started that business, now you're on the top looking down, and now you have to deal with, how do we manage these Neanderthals and the guys like Lee and I, where you're giving us these sideways looks today. But isn't that the other side of it, too?
I think that is the other side of it. Women in increasing numbers are starting businesses. And, you know, one of the reasons they're starting businesses is because they can, and they haven't been able to achieve those goals by being inside organizations, frankly.
Sure.
Yeah, so it's kind of the chicken and the egg thing. But absolutely, they are starting businesses, and they continue to be challenged in terms of running those businesses and learning more about themselves and the people they work with in those businesses.
And then they find themselves sitting in that top chair, and
That's right.
I manage these people?
Absolutely.
How do I put the right people in the right spots and set goals and manage them to move forward? It's a whole different scenario than trying to break through, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It sounds, too, like you keep bringing up about knowing yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
And I see a lot of these pamphlets out there and coaching sessions and workshops that say work-life balance. In my life, there is not work-life balance. I wonder how you would address that in your sessions.
Well, I'll tell you, my personal bias is there's no such thing as work-life balance, and that's probably not a very popular view, but I think it's all about priorities. And I think, you know, there are times in your work life when you work 80 hours a week because things need to be done, and there are other times when you don't. And I think there's been a little bit of a misnomer about work-life balance over the years. So, you know, my philosophy, and by the way, the person that I think resonated most to this point of view was a man that I was coaching. My philosophy is that you forget the concept of work-life balance and you really focus on priorities, and that you understand that there are times when your balance is going to be different based on what's happening in your personal life and based on what's happening in the business, and that you honor that. So I think that when we talk about work-life balance, the definition has changed over the years so dramatically related to that, that it's a different worldview of that.
So it sounds like you're saying more blending.
I think blending is a really good word, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's a great word to describe that.
Because I always think of the work-life balance as very siloed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like,
mm-hmm.
I can do this, and then I go home, and then I have my friends, and it's like, there's no...
Yeah, yeah. There's no good way to do that.
No, right.
This isn't just a woman's issue. I mean,
right.
Work-life balance is like this. When my wife says, you have to be here for this, fine. The rest of the time, I'm at the office. So there's the balance.
One of my mentors that when I was working for a Fortune 100 semiconductor manufacturer, it was an EVP of HR. And this individual, this topic came up. And he stated to me, look, here we don't have work-life balance. We have work-life choice. And And so I think when executives look at the institution they're working for or the organization, different cultures call for different things. So I think actually when you're joining an organization or where you decide as a business owner how you're going to build your culture, there is a distinctive difference between work hard environments and work hard, play hard, or, you know, play more than work kind of environments. So as an executive goes into these environments, I think a lot of coaching comes in around what kind of selection have you made about your organization and how well do you fit inside that organization and what is your choice?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of organizations present that saying, if you want to climb the ladder, if you really want to be that top executive, you're going to have to give some stuff up. Or, you know what, we really value B players as well. And if you want to have that work-life balance, you've made a choice. You're not going to be that top-level executive. You are going to be a very, very valued contributor, but you may not go all the way to the top. So there's organizations that craft this work-life choice versus the work-life balance kind of concept.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think we're seeing different expectations on behalf of the younger people today when there's two earner couples and they both have jobs of, say, equal priority, and they have to split duties at home, and they have to split family duties. And from my standpoint, being in mid-50s, when I started in business, it was, I'm going to go work as much as I have to, and my wife will stay home and take care of those things. But today, I don't think people are able to do that. They have to find some type of balance because there's two earner couples, and things have to be done.
I think the dual career thing is a huge part of this, and I think it's about really collaboration between the couple, obviously, and the workplace plays a role in that. And, you know, I think one of the most interesting stories I can think of, because you're right, it's not a male or a female issue to a very large extent. I was working with a president of a firm who had us coaching 8 of her direct reports, and one of those gentlemen had just had triplets, and that's a lot of that's a lot of balance to be balancing, right? And you know, she was concerned about him in terms of being promoted, because she didn't know if he really had the commitment to work anymore. And so it's very interesting that, you know, this is a issue, as you say, that goes both ways. And women can have a jaded perspective on it as well as men to a very real degree.
And society's changed the rules on us a little bit
right.
today,
haven't
they?
Right, yeah.
Well, and that's interesting. Then the coaching, I'm looking at this, whether or not it's a male-female kind of issue, the whole blending is whether and how you show commitment to your business or show commitment to your job. It could be that those rules have changed as well. So that's part of the coaching, I would assume, and because, it, like you're saying, commitment, women will describe or communicate commitment in action and in word differently maybe than their male counterparts in the same company.
Right. And I think to a very real degree, you know, these are the kinds of things that you reach agreement on with your boss. You have those open conversations. And I think to your point, Sam, it's not about being so siloed anymore, right?
Mm-hmm,
it's about
exactly.
We live integrated lives. You can't, I mean, when I started, you know, Tom, I'm probably as old as you are, but when I started.
Not a chance, Pat. Not a chance. You're way younger than I am.
He has to be the oldest in the room always.
Always. Okay. Always. But when I started, you know, the expectation was that you lived in that silo world. You know, you came to work and you did work, and you didn't talk about it.
You didn't talk about it, but you were expected to do it.
You were expected to do it.
Today, I think they're forced to talk about it and say, what are you willing to do?
That's right.
And what's your commitment?
So it's a very, I think, integrated process today. And you know, it is a, when if that were the issue that you were dealing with relative to a coaching situation, you know, what we're going to be talking about is what's getting in your way of being successful in that. What do you need to start looking at and doing to manage your life better so that you can achieve your goals both at work and at home? So from a coaching perspective, it's really dealing with those issues and helping people to kind of move through them in a way that they can get to some resolution, both for themselves and for their employers.
Now, you said you had talked with one of the employers, and she had you coaching her staff.
Yes.
Do you often work with the manager or the executive and then find out what their goals are for the folks, their folks, and what they are seeing, like the gentleman who had the triplets, that there may not be the commitment? Do you find that out at work?
You do find that out. I mean, when we are engaged for executive coaching, you know, there is a sponsor within the organization who says, I want this person to have coaching. And you can have coaching because there's an issue. So there's some kind of a wart, if you will, that the individual has that the employer is really wanting fixed. Or it can be developmental coaching. So maybe you have a high potential person or you're doing it for career development. And Lee might even be able to talk a little bit more about that in a second, just in terms of what we know about developmental coaching in terms of career satisfaction. So you can be talking to an individual in an organization for either of those reasons. If the organization is sponsoring it from the standpoint of we have a concern with this employee, then you start out by meeting with that boss. What are the issues? What kind of feedback has this individual been given? What have they tried before? Why are they now going to executive coaching, and what do they hope to gain from it? So you're working very collaboratively with the organization, and the goal is really the organizational goal. What is it that they're trying to get out of it? If you're doing developmental coaching, then it's more the goal of the individual who's participating in that coaching. So they're thinking about what kind of career development are they looking for, and how can a coaching really help them achieve those goals?
Pat, is it common that a manager that's maybe overseeing 8 or 10 reports that you were talking about, perhaps they've got 2 or 3 major projects coming up, and they want to assess the level of commitment on behalf of those employees to perform the work? Is it common for them to ask you to participate in that?
You know, Tom, I guess I can't think of a situation where that particular scenario has been there, but I think to your point, they might have a question of some sort that they're really interested in looking at. And in this particular situation, this was a woman who had taken on a role as a president. She was new to the organization. She was new to this group of people. They hadn't had any development for a number of years. They had gone through a number of leadership changes. The morale was poor. And so what she was hoping to do was signal to them, I'm committed to your development as a professional, and that this is development for you, and that what I want you to do is participate in it with the hope of really becoming re-engaged, I think was her goal.
And get some good feedback and commitment from those folks.
Absolutely.
That'd be very valuable, I would think, for upper-level management.
Yeah.
If I can put you on the spot for just a second, this just came up yesterday, actually. A friend of mine was a senior executive in a firm, and his daughter died and didn't handle it well. And was fired. How would the executive coaching and this have helped him and the company from losing a valuable executive?
Well, you picked an easy one to talk about there, didn't you?
I figured an extreme.
Pat, I'm sitting on the edge of my chair waiting for this one.
So am I.
Should we give that to Lee?
You know, I think it is all, it's in many ways all about the actions you choose and how you choose to go about it. And my guess is, not knowing the situation, here was someone who was in a very dire and stressful situation in conditions that probably none of us hopefully can imagine. And what he needed to do was really to have an advocate at his side, really helping him process through how to deal with that within an organizational context.
Maybe he needed a timeout and some counseling.
Maybe he needed a timeout. There might have been a lot of things he needed, and he needed a resource to be able to kind of be that sounding board to help him through that, would be my guess.
I like the idea of the advocacy, you know, that he's not alone.
Right.
And kind of what I'm hearing from all of what you're saying in the executive coaching side, too, is they're not alone.
That's right.
Well, there's a serious candidate for your career transition resources. There's a person that really needs some support and some backup.
Yeah. But you know what? I don't think this is going to be that unusual. So many of us are in the squeeze generation. We've got kids in college who are there going through what they're going through. We've got parents who are, you know, at ages where they're going into nursing homes, or they have medical technical issues that they have to deal with, I don't think this is going to be all that unusual.
No, it's interesting. When you look at the sources of, as an employer, as you look at your workforce, it's sources for commitment and driving commitment and engagement with your employees. When you survey employee groups, one of the top issues that comes out of almost every survey, you can predict it as a survey professional, you can say, give an employee survey out. We know what certain responses are going to be strong. One is a sense of care and concern provided by the employer to the employee. The more employees feel, your workforce feels that you do care and you do have concern for their well-being, it drives engagement levels up dramatically. And when you look at what best predicts performance and what best predicts long tenure and other items along those lines is engagement and how an employee feels attached to that organization, what they're willing to do to really drive the organization forward. So care and concern. In this kind of an environment where you have an employee that's potentially derailing for many different issues, one, a family concern, where you have other, you have all kinds of clinical issues that can come up, but you also have the softer ones around personal behavior that may be derailing, a sense of arrogance or things that they have those blind spots that, that a great coach can help. Get frank around and talk to. There's oftentimes, we haven't mentioned the derailment side. Oftentimes, we'll come into coaching engagements where we build contracts with the employer, with the manager and the direct report, and put together a performance contract and saying, here's what the expectations are of this coaching engagement. So when you look at, oftentimes measurability of coaching success isn't there.
Right.
So you look at ROI, and it's a hard thing to kind of calculate for both training and development and coaching. But when you look at setting specific metrics around, okay, here's where we're at, here's where we want to be.
Give me an example.
Well, we've had instances where I personally aligned a coach with an individual that was a fantastic technical expert in their field.
Okay.
And what's typical for when you promote somebody, typically when somebody goes from an individual contributor rank up into a manager rank, they get hired for the wrong reason. They get promoted for the wrong reason.
Yes.
They get promoted because they're technical experts. And all of a sudden, they find themselves managing people and not necessarily that technology, and now they're lost. And so we had that case one time where this individual was a really incredible metrics person, and they were leading dead bodies all over the place in terms of their workforce. Mm-hmm. We really engaged and got that mirror up and said, okay, what does this really mean? And worked that individual over a year and a half period of time, and that person turned and became an extraordinarily successful executive with this firm.
I'm sold.
You're sold.
Yeah,
think
well, you
about
hear about the flaming, bodies all the time.
Oh, well, that's just Lee. Think about this, though. In these economic times when employers are cutting back because they've lost customers, they've lost business, things are flattened out, and you talk about the squeeze issues and you talk about the commitment issues and the executive coaching, how's that going to play into the choice of who do we keep and who do we lay off? These are going to be some real tough decisions that business owners are going to be taking up. Pat, starting to run short on time. You've got a big new initiative coming up with the College of St. Catharines. Can you tell us about that?
We do. Career Partners is very proud to be a sponsor for the Women in Influence series at St. Catharines. And it is really about recognizing women leaders and how they contribute not only to their businesses, but their communities, and how they really make a difference in the world. And so we are proud to be a sponsor. There is an event on April 29th. It's a leadership program for women of color, and Linda Alvarado is going to be the keynote speaker on that, and she is the president and CEO of Alvarado Construction in Colorado. And interesting, because really a woman in leading a construction organization is a little bit unique. So this event is coming up, and we're going to be a sponsor of that, and there's going to be a year-end event as well. And so again, it's a way for us as a woman-owned business to really recognize and make a commitment to women and to their leadership expertise and to the contribution they make to business in general. And we're really very pleased and happy to be a sponsor of that event.
And some of the issues you're going to cover in there, Sam, I think you've got some information on that.
Oh, some of them sound really interesting in terms of, you had talked about mentoring and coaching earlier. Who is it that they were influenced by as they came to their positions? And advice? They're going to be giving some advice on how to manage and move through the organization and work with their people.
Absolutely.
And developing themselves.
That's right. And I think, you know, I think what's interesting about that, there's going to be a series of radio spots where women of influence are going to be interviewed and they're going to be asked those questions. And what a powerful way to really learn from people who are in those roles. And I think as we look at, you know, the generations coming up and mentoring and developing those women, this is really an effort to for women leaders to share their point of view and their experiences, their personal experiences with others, and use that as a tool for coaching and mentoring others. So we're very excited about that. And again, a number of women are going to be interviewed. I'll be one of those, and we'll have an opportunity to kind of share our stories and talk about some of our leadership experiences. And
the good, the bad, and the
good,
ugly.
The bad, and the ugly. We've had them all, right?
Yeah.
And use that as a springboard to create a good dialogue, I think, about this topic.
Are you going to be able to ask some of these women business owners about that balance issue we were talking about earlier?
Oh, I'm sure that. Don't you think that'll come up?
I'd love to hear what they had to say about it, especially the lady running the construction firm with probably employing 100 guys that look like Lee.
That's right.
Wow,
that's
she gets
right.
up in the morning and goes to work anyway. Sorry, Lee, I'd pick on you a little bit here. Well, that sounds like an exciting program at St. Kate's, and is that going to be an ongoing commitment on behalf of your firm to work with the College of St. Catherine?
I was saying earlier that I'm kind of a St. Catherine's wannabe because they do such great work, with not only women leaders, but with the whole issue of entrepreneurship. And so we look for a long relationship with them in a variety of ways. There's some, I've made some presentations over there and will likely do that again. And so that idea of being connected with a facility that really focuses on women leaders and entrepreneurship, I think, is a good overall fit with our mission as an organization to be able to be a contributing part of the community and make a contribution in these kinds of ways. So we're excited about it, and we look forward to lots of other opportunities to partner with them.
And in addition to St. Kate's, is this a executive coaching? Is this a big push on behalf of your firm, both for male and female, for everyone?
Yeah, executive coaching is a major part of our business offerings, and we continue to look for opportunities to grow and develop that business. We think that executive coaching is here to stay in terms of a developmental tool, and many of those issues are related to career issues as well as organizational issues, and we have a very highly qualified staff of executive coaches to be able to serve in those roles and be mentors and coaches and developers of both men and women.
Well, your firm provides some great resources. When I was starting in business some 35 years ago, I don't think there was anything available that could help with career transition, with executive coaching, with outplacement, with all the things that you do, and what a great service you provide for folks beyond what was the norm 35 years ago.
Do or die.
Do or
That's
die,
right.
And it's over.
Yeah.
The School of Hard Knocks, they called it, I think, wasn't it?
I'm a number one graduate from that one.
You don't remember.
It's a tough way to go. Well, this has been interesting and fun, and for our listeners, if you have any comments, questions, or if you'd like for more information on this topic, go to todaysbusinessradio.com and click through to Career Partners Professional Edge. I'm Tom Lyons for Sam Zordich and Greg Jorgensen, our producer. We'd like to thank Pat Berg and Lee Scalrud from Career Partners Professional Edge for joining us today on todaysbusinessradio.com.
You've been listening to Today's Business Radio with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the owner of Phelan Partners Limited, an M&A advisory and consulting firm. Today's Business Radio is also available around the clock and around the world at todaysbusinessradio.com. That's todaysbusinessradio.com. All content provided by Today's Business Radio is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice from your legal, accounting, and business advisors. Today's Business Radio is not liable for the contents of this podcast, nor does it endorse any commercial product or service mentioned or advised in this podcast. All radio shows, podcasts, and other content provided by Today's Business Radio is copyrighted and may not be reproduced or downloaded for any reason without prior written consent by Today's Business Radio. If you have a topic you'd like covered at Today's Business Radio, log on to our website at todaysbusinessradio.com and submit your comments and questions. Thanks for listening to todaysbusinessradio.com.